So this is the second time I've gotten to speak publicly about my ideas about motherhood, so please bear with me as I sort through this in a rather sleepless kind of way. We were asked, as you may have gathered, three questions sort of describing our political work, describing our work and its political significance to us. What do we find inspiring, and what are the barriers, the challenges to imagining and building that alternative future? And I'm going to speak kind of loosely to all three of those questions and also in a roundabout way. In terms of the work I do around motherhood, before I was a mother, my radical imagination around mothering was very limited. You know, I had some idea about feminist notions feminist struggles around motherhood. So the idea that defining women should be defined for more than a reproductive value, that we should have value outside of childbirth, there should be possibilities for existence and which do not involve reproducing. And that also meant, you know, fighting for a space for non-mothering women, particularly as we age, as well as questions about who gets to be a mother, access to birth control and abortion, and adequate resources to support those who choose to procreate. However, since having a child, and being one of those cliche people who said, wanted children, didn't have children, then ba-da! My thoughts on motherhood and the centrality of it actually to political life have really blossomed. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of my personal experiences and how they map onto various concepts politically. And in a lot of ways, there's though using quite a different language, I think there's a fair bit of resonance with what Alexis was talking about, particularly around, I used ideas of solidarity, but you talk about identifying with the leap to. And so one of the politically formative experiences for me was breastfeeding. Breastfeeding hammered home the ways in which the state, medical establishment, and this conflux of capitalism and patriarchy actually inform our personal experiences of it, pressures to do so, and the ability to do so as well. So current public health recommendations are largely established by the World Health Organization at an international level, and then domestically at the federal and provincial levels. They come out of a struggle, and that struggle was against the provision of formula to developing countries by Nestle specifically, who went in with under the guise of public health nurses, provided formula samples to mothers who didn't breastfeed, but also couldn't afford formula and did not have access to clean water to make that formula. So there was malnourishment and death amongst their children. And so in the 80s, an international campaign came boycotting the provision of formula in this way, boycotting Nestle, and it has been one of the sort of shoves that has put breastfeeding as a political agenda internationally. And certainly sort of the victory being now that there is support for breastfeeding in public, access to resources to encourage women to breastfeed, and the general recommendation is breastfeed exclusively for 6 months, and then continued breastfeeding, depending on which policy you look at, for up to 2 years. So introducing solid food at 6 months, but still nursing, so beyond that. And as someone who was breastfeeding was easy for me. I didn't have any technical challenges with it. I'm relatively privileged. I was able to take a maternity leave, and I continue to breastfeed my 20-month-old toddler. But even with that, I have such a problem with these public health recommendations. I find them morally and politically problematic. They force women back into the home to be the primary caregiver for their children. With exclusive breastfeeding, that means nursing every 2 hours, even shorter durations depending on the age of your child, and that means that women are forced to be the ones providing that, particularly at the younger ages when pumping, providing express breast milk, is not feasible. And so there's a way in which these recommendations, though they're meant to address a situation created by capitalism, actually force women back into the home and reinforce power and the exploitation of women. And I think there's really no space in general to talk about these the way these politics are playing out. And breastfeeding is just one case example. I think there's lots of other experiences of motherhood that look like that, that look like the burden of child rearing and being placed back onto women. And so with breastfeeding, women are the sole choice of food and drink for babies under 6 months old. And that is an intense of pressure. So I remember, I don't know if others have had this experience, sort of looking at my four-day-old baby and being overwhelmed by the sense of responsibility. And of course, you know, you're having a child, you should know you're responsible for its life, but to actually have that experience is another thing altogether. And what is also, what makes this even a further injustice is that we talk about this as if it's all a choice. And so what I mean by that is, and this is which, where we deny the interdependence of mothers and children and families and communities, that rather we have severed those, the mechanism being the nuclear family, and we say it's your choice to procreate, that's your child. And so this idea that children are a choice, to me, supports the austerity in motherhood. So it's my child is my responsibility, my choice, it bears on my life and should have no effect on anyone else around me, which is a bogus notion of what it means to be human. We affect each other. And that children are part of the commons. They are our future. They are intergenerationality has been, we've removed those social relations. We've destroyed them. They're prohibited for good reason. Like with breastfeeding, because we don't have intergenerationality, we don't see breastfeeding. We don't know how it's done. We don't have experience with it. It's a complete novelty when faced with the situation. So intergenerationality is an important thing to introduce back into our politics. And that those are capitalist relations that sever, that I think it's very intentional that we don't have intergenerational relations because we are de-skilled through that. And when we're de-skilled, it becomes a commodity. It's something you have to find information, so we go to the internet, we have to go to classes, we find experts, and of course, and this is no disrespect to people working in the areas of breastfeeding work, but the place, like for example, the La Leche League, works in a very politicized space where they can only give particular types of advice to particular types of people at particular types of times because of the litigious nature of medical advice. And so it's, again, that's an example for which our responses are actually determined by capitalist relations. So I've kind of gone on a little ramble here about breastfeeding, but it gives you I'm using this to give a flavor for the ways in which there's a multiplicity of ways in which capitalism and patriarchal relations infect our ideas and practices around motherhood, just around breastfeeding policy. And that children are actually an important part about that, I think. Really, as I explore this more and more, I think I find myself talking about kids. And one part of that is, again, with this idea of being... sorry, I'm just going to check my clock here. That it's a choice, that we can choose to be child-free. And I use this language myself as someone who wanted children and was not able to have kids, apparently. Not true. That coming to that through that emotional pain of longing, because children are objects and we can't get access to them unless you have, because they've become personal commodities that we're producing, that we can have this idea that we're child-free, that we don't have, that I can choose not to have children. Well, can I choose not to have elder people in my life? Can I choose to be elder-free? Well, I don't want elderly people in my life. So there's a real language around this which has put the burden of child-rearing and mothering and birth onto women. And why this is, I think, should be central to our politics is because of this notion that children are the common. That we reproduce society through mothering activities. And I'm using mothering here not just to mean mothering of children, but mothering work in general. You know, when you're making your friend lunch and they're like, stop mothering me. That activity, that production of domestic caring labor, it's non-waged. And that work is actually what is meaningful in society. When we think about our personal experiences in the world, that's the stuff of life. And yet that is the stuff that we devalue through ideas around mothering as a choice. And I think that the social value of reproduction in general has been devalued, while the whole system of capitalism is dependent on the exploitation of women's reproductive labor. And Silvia Federici is the person to read, particularly on that. That when we talk about, when I use the word capitalism, I mean patriarchal capitalism, because patriarchy is essential to the creation of workers and consumers because through our activities. And through domestic work, which reproduces the nuclear family and the household. The sum of this is that women, mothers, are marginalized from political participation in our movements because of our... Because we, while we devalue reproductive labor, we raise the value of wage labor in our political imaginations. And this is best exemplified materially in the dominance of labor organization in our left movements, and also intellectually in that we organize, and ideologically in the way that we organize in a way that excludes mothers, whether that's because of childcare, provision, or that we have spaces that are generally just not amenable to the presence of children. And so my work has been around this what I call the Motherhood Project, has included an annual alternative Mother's Day event called Reimagining Motherhood. And I think the Halifax Motherhood Collective, Suzanne and Candida, may be speaking a little during lunchtime about the work that we've done there. But I think it's politically important because it's starting from a place of my own personal experience. It's concrete. I'm invested in it. And as a place for solidarity work, it means that we can use these experiences to identify how my experience of motherhood may be very different than somebody else's, and yet we can buy into this idea that women's labor is undervalued and fundamentally needs to be taken seriously when we reorganize society, because that's what we're trying to do. and that in activities that we're trying to do that, solidarity in motherhood means that we have to politicize and radicalize other women's experiences. So in the Reimagining Motherhood event, we captured a very particular demographic of mothers. And so how do we link our personal experience as mostly middle-class mothers who face isolation and judgment, and how our liberation is tied up in the liberation of others? Particularly, so, you know, just grabbing a couple issues like the use of domestic workers, mothers behind bars, and Aboriginal mothers, and women of whose ability to mother has been stripped from them by the state. So I think radicalizing the politics of mothers through solidarity is really important. And politicizing those without the experience. So I often hear when I talk about motherhood, saying, you know, we're going to leave the thinking about the politics of unwaged caring labor to the mothers and to people who do that. To me, that is... that's telling in the fact that not a lot of lefties showed up to the Reimagining Motherhood event that we had, because again, it's outside of the sphere of activism. It's not my experience, right? Which I think is bullshit. And mothering affects us all ideologically, in practice, in the past, and in the future. And so to me, it highlights the importance of analysis and practice, the marriage between ideas and organizing. With a minute or so I have left, I guess I think for me, mothering means having a bold, incorporating mothering into politics means having a bold imagination of what about, to understand what's the problem, to place the question marks deeper down than we typically do, to use a phrase from Ludwig Wittgenstein, and to step away from relying on the structures of the state and the left status quo that we tend to grapple with. I think they hobble our efforts rather than empower us to envision how we can actually, what a new world might look like. What would a different society look like? And I think tackling and including mother, so, you know, if I was to end, I hope that you all take away some sense in which contemplating motherhood, the experiences of it, and it's the concepts around it, how it affects you and others in your life. And certainly I don't mean just being a mother, but the pressures around that in general, and how it's important to bring it in order to create lasting, intergenerational, dynamic movements that I see as critical for our future. All in there.